Welcome to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH. Your Partner in Law is brought to you in part by the law firm Gregorick & Associates PLLC. Charting your course to a secure future. Your Partner in Law starts now. Here's your host, Rick Gregorick.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Law. This is Scott Ralston, live in studio with Ted Hansen. And for those of you that just missed the headlines, probably the biggest headline of the day.
I'm still stuck on the tractor in the river.
Is the tractor falling in the river?
Does that happen?
We're a planning firm, and we talk every day about planning and making sure that you have your planning documents in place, because you never know what's going to happen. And I would imagine that gentleman got up that morning and he didn't think about the fact that he might end up in the river.
I might advise him to keep the tractor a little bit further away from the edge, frankly. That's probably what I would advise.
I kind of wonder what the cause might have been.
Well, we'll never know, probably, will we?
We'll never know.
Oh, that was tremendous.
That's pretty funny.
Well, good morning, everybody. Beautiful day out there. And
tractor driving weather.
Yeah, good tractor driving weather. I bet that water was cold, too. Oh, boy. Anyway, folks, we're glad to be back with you. We're going to take a little bit of a different kind of approach today. We're going to talk a little bit about the intersection of a couple things people don't really like to talk about. One of them is divorce, and the other is the estate planning.
Yeah, divorce and estate planning. And for those of you who know, I'm Scott Ralston. I handle the litigation side mostly at our firm, although I do some planning as well. But a big part of my practice is family law.
Yep.
And so we're going to talk today about the importance of having an estate plan in place when you're involved in a dissolution. Now, this isn't to take away from the importance of having an estate plan in place under all circumstances, because we can come up with lots and lots of scenarios from all different kinds of experience that we've had in our firm when there hasn't been estate planning in place or the improper estate planning has been in place. So, you know, this is one example. The world of divorce and being single and remarrying. Those are all, you know, we're going to call that the trifecta there. There's three stages to this process. And in all stages of this process, having the appropriate estate planning documents in place is just incredibly important.
Absolutely. And it's important in all cases, like Scott says, but particularly when you're facing a divorce or you're contemplating a divorce, perhaps, you really kind of need to take a look at the way things are situated so that you can protect yourself during that period of time. Because these things take a while, usually.
They do. And, you know, there's a lot of intersections of law here when you're dealing with divorce and estate plans. And let's talk a little bit about community property and separate property. I think that's probably the starting point for
the
discussion.
That's right. And community property, frankly, is kind of very misunderstood in general. Not every state's a community property state. This one happens to be one of them.
Correct.
And when you have community property, the essential concept is that after you're married, everything that is generated income-wise and acquisition of assets is considered 50-50. For the most part, in a community property state.
Yeah, it's accumulated. It creates the, quote, community. And it's the community efforts that create the community. And so what the law recognizes is all of the assets you acquire during marriage through the fruits of your labor during marriage. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And then all of the debts that you acquire as well during the marriage.
Right,
are community. And so the fruits of the community labor are wages from being employed during your marriage. That makes sense. But let's say somebody, has a house and they build an addition onto it, and they actually build the addition onto it themselves. They work on it in the evenings. They work on it on the weekends. That increase in the value of that asset as a result of the work that is done during the marriage increases the community. So that's another contribution to the community.
Right.
The other concept is separate property. And separate property is the property that you either bring to the marriage or that you acquire during the marriage as a form of a gift to you and you only, or inheritance to you and you only.
That's correct.
And then also, to the extent that you keep your separate property separate during the marriage, the income that your separate property generates is also separate property.
Right.
And so understanding these concepts is important during your marriage / divorce estate planning, because what happens is when one person files, and we are operating, of course, under the assumption there is no premarital agreement.
Right, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes.
We'll talk about here in a few minutes as well. But once somebody files, that ends the community. And when that community is ended, you begin to acquire your own debts, and you begin to acquire your own assets. And you're in this between when you file for dissolution or separate, I should say, and when the legal separation or divorce is finalized, you're in this kind of a purgatory from an estate planning perspective. Because if you have not done your own separate estate planning, either before the separation or after the separation. What I mean by separation is there's a date that the courts recognize that when the community ends. And it's not when you're divorced. It's when you separate.
Right. Exactly.
And, perhaps you move into separate houses, you move into separate rooms, or you just agree, you know what, we're done. And so our marriage is defunct, and so we are now separated. That cuts off the community. Okay. So once that community is cut off, you still have community assets, and you still have community liabilities that need to be dealt with.
Right.
And then you begin to acquire your own separate property going forward. And, you know, a dissolution can take a few months. It can take a few years to get through a dissolution action, kind of depending on the complexities of the case.
And the personalities.
The attitudes of the parties.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, and children, of course. That's another
big which is beyond today's topic. But that can be a big factor in the time period that it takes to reach the, you know, final dissolution or final decree of legal separation.
Yeah.
So once this community ends, and even before, I should say, you have the right under Washington law to have a separate estate plan and dispose of all of your separate property as you choose, and dispose of all your share, I should say, of community property as you choose. So you can, as soon as you separate or before, but we're going to talk about it in the context of before, because most people do not, at least in a first marriage, have this knowledge or these separate plans.
That's
something that you learn, unfortunately, when you go through a dissolution, and a lot of this stuff becomes a new concept for you. And wow, you learn a lot pretty quickly.
You learn a lot of very unpleasant things.
That's right.
That's
not just about your soon-to-be ex-spouse.
Yes.
So when this, you know, when you put together your estate plan, so again, you have the right to dispose via your estate plan of all of your community property and all of your separate property. So why does this matter? Okay, here's why it really, really matters. And this is the point that we get to, and why we talk about the separate property, the community property, and kind of some of the other things that we've been talking about, is until you divorce, if you pass away during the divorce process, before the divorce is finalized, and you do not have an estate plan, your spouse, who you probably aren't real happy with, and we'll just leave it at that, is the one that is going to receive your estate.
Winner take all. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, and so if you don't, and it's going to be, you know, based upon the statutory scheme, you know, how much of it goes to your spouse and how much of it goes to your children. But basically, and this is the important part, is if you haven't done the estate planning and you pass away during the dissolution, it's as if the dissolution never was initiated.
Right. I think that catches a lot of people by surprise sometimes, because we've seen that situation occur a few times, right?
We have.
It's very unfortunate, but it happens that way. And that's why it's very important to kind of at least have some basic knowledge of the community property laws and separate property laws so that you can properly prepare yourself going forward.
And this comes as a huge, huge surprise to people when they first learn about it. And, you know, they're dealing with having to deal with all the legal aspects of filing for, you know, dissolution or responding to a dissolution petition. And in the meantime, they got to start thinking about, okay, do I want to go ahead and do an estate plan now? Because I need to protect my children. I need to protect myself. Because, I mean, as as I think is probably real well known, probably the one of the top two reasons that people end up in a dissolution is because of financial disagreements.
Yeah.
And so...
And then this just compounds the problem.
Yeah, of course, this compounds the problem. But what you may view, you know, you may view your spouse as being financially irresponsible, or you just don't trust that they're going to take care of your children with the money that you guys have accumulated in that community. That is why when you're looking at separation, or even before separation, maybe you're just thinking that your marriage is a little rocky and you're a little concerned about it and you're still working on it. But at the same time, you're just a little concerned. You can do your own separate estate plan.
Right.
And
in fact, you can do that at any time, even if you're married, frankly, right?
You can
your own separate plan. But you got to be cognizant of the community property laws, of course, when you do this.
And you know, and this isn't necessarily what we advise people to do, but it's certainly their choice. You can do the secret estate plan, the estate plan that your spouse never even knows about. And after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about that. If you've got questions, comments, something you want to ask, 1-888-976-5476. Your partner in law will be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorick. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorick & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hey, this is Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, host of Long-Term Care Radio, right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. And Brian, you have a class coming up in Bellevue, June 2nd, a great way to learn about long-term care planning. What do you think is the one thing our listeners really need to know?
It's simple, Dory. Medicare and health insurance doesn't pay for long-term care. It's really up to you. In fact, there are only two ways to pay for long-term care. One is to pay out of pocket and watch everything you've worked hard for get whittled down, or the second way is to move that risk to an insurance company by setting up a long-term care plan.
Which is exactly what my wife and I did with Brian. I encourage you to do the same. Sign up for Brian's next class, June 2nd. Learn how you can protect your savings and the people you care about the most with the newest programs, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. Sign up at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com. And learn more by tuning in every Saturday morning at 7 for Long-Term Care Radio on Cairo Radio.
Have you ever wondered what would happen to you or your loved ones or your business if you were incapacitated tomorrow or if you died prematurely? None of us plan on it, but not addressing these issues can be catastrophic to your finances, your family, and your business. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregorick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio every Sunday morning at 8. Elder or estate planning is necessary for all of us, regardless of our wealth or lack of wealth. So whether your estate is large or small, you simply must have a proper legal life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your business. For your free estate or elder law planning consultation, give us a call today at 425-284-3450. At Gregorick & Associates, my staff and I will take the time necessary to understand your needs and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Call us today at 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450, or go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorick on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to Your Partner in Law. This is Scott Ralston live in studio with Mr. Ted Hansen.
Mr. Ted Hansen, who couldn't get on the 5 freeway north. I had to go all the way down to Michigan Street, and I'm lucky to be here, frankly.
Well, and that had me a little worried that I was going to be solo in this.
Solo today. No, I wouldn't do that to you. I'd have gotten here sooner or later.
I'm not one that likes talking to myself that much.
Well, not that much, anyway.
So
before the break, we were talking a little bit about this... what Scott calls secret estate plan.
The secret estate plan. Now, I've run into this, not a lot. I've run into it a couple times, but the secret estate plan is where marriage is on the rocks, but neither one of the parties is ready to actually separate. And one or both of the parties has concern about where their estate is going to go, where their interest in the community property and where their separate property is going to go, number one. And number two, who is going to make their pre-death decisions? And so the secret estate plan, which I have run into, is where one of the spouses goes and on their own accord, unbeknownst to the other spouse, goes ahead and gets their own estate plan done. And they bequest their estate as they choose. And perhaps they bequest all of their estate to someone other than their spouse. Perhaps they bequest...
Child.
It is usually a child or children. Or they bequest a portion of their estate, unbeknownst to the other spouse. Because that's what they want to do. And under Washington law, that's their right.
Right.
And they exercise that right. And in addition, perhaps they have a little bit of distrust for their spouse for whatever reason. They also execute their pre-death documents for decision-making, power of attorney for financial decision-making, power of attorney for medical decision-making, in favor of someone other than their spouse. This is all perfectly legal, permissible.
Fairly common.
And possibly recommended under certain circumstances.
Yep.
So if you're in this situation where it's a bit of a rocky marriage, you're not sure it's going to last, you don't trust your spouse, or you think your spouse just has poor judgment, and you still love them, but you're not sure you want to turn over decision-making to them or your share of the estate, in part or in full, you could do an estate plan secretly with counsel, would be the best recommendation for us under that circumstance, because they're going to want to talk to you a little bit about and give you the options and make sure you understand what you're doing and make sure that you're making appropriate decisions for your situation.
Right, and what a surprise that is for a future ex-spouse to learn that they're no longer
making medical decisions. Yeah, it is a surprise.
For their still current spouse, right?
And I've represented that rather surprised and less than happy spouse. I can think of one particular case, which we will not be getting into the details of, but nonetheless, I have represented individuals under this circumstance, and they are not happy.
Yeah, not happy. That's probably putting it mildly, frankly. So.
But it is, again, this is legal. This is a right. This is something that you can do under Washington law. You can dispose of your share of the community property and your separate property as you choose under the law.
That's right. It does not have to go to the spouse, that's for sure. And frequently people choose not to give it to their spouse. I've had even amicable people come in and do separate estate plans.
Yeah, and that's we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And we do run into that a lot. And that's going to be the second marriage typically.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a lot. But anyways, let's get back to this divorce, the concept of divorce, that, you know, doing an estate plan is something that you're definitely going to want to consider if you're in the process of divorce because, as we discussed, if you pass away before the divorce is finalized or you become incapacitated before the divorce is finalized, your spouse, who you may not trust or be happy with, is the one that will, if you pass away, receive your estate without an estate plan for the most part. And your spouse may very well be the individual that is your decision maker if you become incapacitated during the dissolution process and you do not have papers in place for decision making to be made by others.
Yeah. And I think that blindsides people too all the time, is that whole concept. And people don't really grasp the fact that the spouse doesn't necessarily have the ongoing right to deal with the other person's finances or deal with the other person's medical issues. These can be completely different people. These can be people outside of the family in some cases, right, that have these powers now. And that's not a very comfortable situation generally for somebody that finds this out, right, in the time of turmoil, right?
That's right.
It's a tough deal to deal with. So.
Now, and one of the reasons that a lot of people end up, you know, doing their own separate estate plan, especially during the divorce or legal separation process, is if there are children. And the concern is that the spouse will receive that spouse's share of the estate that and not really use it for the benefit of the children.
Right. Yeah, that's a common concern.
And that is a very common concern. And then also the concern that the other spouse will not make good financial decisions for that money.
Yeah, and that happens quite a bit. And you know, you're going through an emotional time here, too, during all of this. And this is the last thing really you need to hit you upside the head is this secret plan that you weren't aware of, right? And all of a sudden, your whole life is kind of different again, right? So you're heading down the divorce path, and now you don't have any control over anything that your spouse does or says, right? So,
but that is permissible under the law.
Yep, it sure is. And we get into this. Scott, I think maybe kind of by the threshold, I think a lot of people are confused about this concept of legal separation versus divorce. And
yeah, I guess I've used that. I've used it.
Talk about
so,
that.
So we were talking a little bit at the beginning of the show about when the marriage ends and you start – when the community ends, I should say, and when you begin to acquire separate debts and separate liabilities. It's when you separate. Okay, that's a term. And then legal separation is if you choose not to divorce, but you choose to legally separate it. That's a term of art, and that's a particular order that is entered if you choose not to divorce and you choose to go the legal separation route. Some people choose that for, you know, different reasons, religious reasons, because they have kids, they don't believe in divorce. They may use it as another type of planning device. We're not going to get into that today, but they may use it as a planning device as well. So, if you've got questions, give us a call. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Your Partner in Law. Our number, 1-888-976-5476. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what happens after the divorce and what kind of plan you might want to have in place.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hey, this is Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, host of Long-Term Care Radio, right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. And Brian, you have a class coming up in Bellevue, June 2nd, a great way to learn about long-term care planning. What do you think is the one thing our listeners really need to know?
It's simple, Dory. Medicare and health insurance doesn't pay for long-term care. It's really up to you. In fact, there are only two ways to pay for long-term care. One is to pay out of pocket and watch everything you've worked hard for get whittled down. Or the second way is to move that risk to an insurance company by setting up a long-term care plan.
Which is exactly what my wife and I did with Brian. I encourage you to do the same. Sign up for Brian's next class, June 2nd. Learn how you can protect your savings and the people you care about the most with the newest programs, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. Sign up at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com. And learn more by tuning in every Saturday morning at 7 for Long-Term Care Radio on Cairo Radio.
Have you ever wondered what would happen to you or your loved ones or your business if you were incapacitated tomorrow or if you died prematurely? None of us plan on it, but not addressing these issues can be catastrophic to your finances, your family, and your business. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregory, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio every Sunday morning at 8. Elder or estate planning is necessary for all of us, regardless of our wealth or lack of wealth. So whether your estate is large or small, you simply must have a proper legal life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your business. For your free estate or elder law planning consultation, give us a call today at 425-284-3450. At Gregorick & Associates, my staff and I will take the time necessary to understand your needs and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Call us today at 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450, or go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregorick.
A little Tom Petty to get you moving this morning.
Yeah, that'll get you going.
Get you out of bed, get you out into that sunshine. All right, guys, looks like a great day to be getting outside for sure.
You know, it would be a good day to do.
Yeah, it'd be just nothing. Would be
good. No.
No?
Drive a tractor. Into the river.
That's right.
We're still cracking up about it.
I had to cool off. That's pretty good, man. I still can't get over the tractor in the water story.
I was moving my beverage from my left hand to my right hand, and I lost control.
That's right. I had a pop top. Oh, boy. I'm sure that there's a story behind that, too. I'm sure there is.
I bet he doesn't really want to talk about it either.
Because out here, nothing runs like a deer. You know that. All right.
All right. So we've been talking today. Well, first of all, welcome back to Your Partner in Law. We've been talking about the concepts of estate planning when there is divorce or legal separation, as we talked about a little bit before the break. So now you're done. The next stage. Now you're done. Now you're single. Okay. And if you had chose, for whatever reason, not to do a new estate plan during the divorce or legal separation process, and final orders have been entered and you're now legally separated or you are divorced, then it is definitely going to be time for you to do your estate plan. The reason is because now, under the law, at least for divorce, you are considered to, if you pass away, your former spouse will be deemed by statute to predecease you under Washington law. Now, this is not always the case, and we'll talk a little bit the complexities of the under California law, which I've had to deal with. But under Washington law, there is a statutory presumption that you would not want your former spouse to inherit any part of your estate. Now, what's a presumption? Well, presumption could be rebutted by some form of evidence. I think a really good example of that evidence is if perhaps you have a bank account, because this statute also applies to bank accounts. So you have a joint bank account, which is oftentimes, you know, lingering after divorce because it takes a long time to get through all these financial transactions and get everything divided. And you go into the bank and you sign a new beneficiary designation. Okay, now that is definitely going to rebut the presumption because you're divorced and then you decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and designate my spouse for this account. And that would, and the same thing would be applicable for bank accounts and for insurance policies.
Right.
Okay. So those are the kinds of things that would rebut a presumption. The more squishy presumptions would be, let's say that you have this joint account and you just don't change it and you leave it this way for years and years and years. And, you know, that might give rise to evidence to rebut that presumption.
That's right.
Perhaps you talk to your neighbors, okay? And you tell them, well, I got this bank account, and I went ahead because I think I want my ex-spouse to receive it, okay? That might also rebut the presumption, okay? These are the kinds of things that potentially people could argue to rebut that presumption. Well, why would we want to do it this way? Why not just go ahead and do that estate plan? Yep. And why not make sure that, you know, those accounts, which, of course, we do not advise to plan by beneficiary designation. We think that is probably the worst form of planning you can do. That's almost worse
not doing anything
than not
at all.
Doing it. Yeah. I mean, it really can be extremely problematic to try and do an estate plan through beneficiary designation. But nonetheless, it's a good example of the type of evidence that shows the rebuttable presumption. So when we get back, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and we're talking a little bit more about the importance of planning after legal separation is finalized or dissolution is finalized.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorick. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorick & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Gregorick, founder of Gregorick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. Yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorick on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Got it going on this morning in the studio.
So welcome back to Your Partner in Law.
Gotta love it.
So we're talking a little bit more about the estate plan after divorce, before remarriage.
Okay.
Why is this important? Well, you're single. Maybe you've got kids that are minors. Maybe you've got kids that are irresponsible. Especially if you have kids that are minors. Let's talk a little bit about that. You go through the whole divorce situation, and you do no estate planning. You become sick, you pass away, you've got kids that are minors. Your former spouse, in that circumstance, may very well become the person that's in charge of your money.
Right.
Because that your estate, without the estate plan, is going to go to your children. And the court is going to be looking for someone to be responsible for those funds. And it is possible that the court will pick your ex-spouse.
Right, which you may not want for a whole lot of reasons, right?
Right, and you may not want that. And that is why if you're divorced, legally separated, have minor children, you definitely need an estate plan. Because you need to have in place an individual that can manage your financial affairs your children. So, and then in addition to that, you're now single. Okay, let's regardless of whether you have kids, but you're now single. Who's going to make your decisions? That's something that, you know, I as a single individual have to deal with myself. I I, you know, got family members and everything designated on my estate planning. But when I finished, you know, with my dissolution, I needed to figure out, okay, who is going to be my decision maker? Because I no longer have my spouse to make my decisions for me. And that's something that all single individuals need to take into consideration.
Yep.
And I can tell you just from general experience with, you know, in my practice, is a lot of single individuals, they don't have a lot of friends and family in their life.
Yeah, that's trouble in estate planning in general, right? That stops a lot of people from planning. They just don't have anybody they would trust.
That's right. And that is a reason not to avoid estate planning. I mean, if you're a single solitary individual, you don't have a lot of friends locally, you don't have family locally, maybe you just don't have any friends or family. Maybe you're just a very private individual. You still need to take into consideration that you could become disabled. You could be driving down the street tomorrow and get involved in an accident, and you're going to have somebody there to be able to make your decisions for you, to pay your bills, pay your mortgage, pay the, you know, utilities, you know, all those things. So if you can't be in charge of that, you need to take into consideration designating someone.
Yeah, but like Scott said, don't let that be the reason why you don't plan, because there are a number of good private fiduciary companies out there that can act on your behalf, that are, like I said, fiduciary people. They have to keep your best interests at heart. And frankly, we refer a lot of people to independent fiduciaries for a number of different reasons, not just this situation. Sometimes even spouses will pick some independent individual to unwind their affairs when they pass away. So,
and sometimes we'll talk a little bit about the second marriage. That's one of our favorite topics when it comes to estate planning. The single individual, and I think Ted's really get this correct, is that there are a lot of single individuals out there that just don't know who would be their decision maker. Therefore, they use that as their procrastination mechanism. And if you're out there, you're single, you don't have a decision maker, you don't have an estate plan, you really should sit down and talk with attorneys about what your options are, because it's really, really problematic if you do get in that car accident or you do have a stroke.
It's almost a heightened sense of
I think it is, actually. I very much think it's a heightened sense.
And, you know, don't wait till the house is on fire to correct the problem.
Exactly.
Right? It's too late to buy insurance then. But you could get your estate plan in place. And like I said, these private fiduciary companies are a great, great option for a lot of people that are in that situation. And I've had a lot of these type of people come across my radar, and this is what we do. We generally do private fiduciary arrangements for people like that, so we can put the plan together for them. So don't let that stop you, folks.
And especially in a big city like Seattle, in the Puget Sound area, there are lots of fiduciary options out there. So that should definitely not be an impediment to your planning.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we work with a lot of good independents, and generally speaking, and it's not particularly expensive either. That's another misnomer. I think people just think that, that what's the cost of that? Got to be to me. Well, the answer is, how much do they have to do on your behalf?
They're not doing anything on your behalf until you become disabled.
Right.
First of all, if that's what occurs,
right. And that may seem a little odd to somebody to name somebody you don't really know, but it works. We've had it. It's better than having nothing.
That's
for sure.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely better.
So then we've got, all right, you've been divorced. You've been out there living the single life, and now you're going to get remarried. You're going to need estate planning. Again, you're going to need estate planning, because when you remarry, especially on second marriages, most individuals will at least consider doing a premarital agreement. And the reason that they will consider doing a premarital agreement is because they've been through the divorce process. They were young when they first got married. And most individuals, just quite frankly, don't even consider doing a premarital agreement when they get married in their early 20s, which is kind of the situation we're talking about. Or even later, if it's their first marriage. It's just, it's not on the radar of most people to do a premarital agreement. But you're older, wiser, and more jaded when you start heading into the second marriage.
Especially the latter part. Yeah.
And at that point, you're going to want to take into consideration both a premarital agreement and estate planning, because they actually go hand in hand. And so we're going to talk for the rest of the show after we get back from the break here real quick on Your Partner-in-Law about the estate plan for the second marriage.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, well, I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. And he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Regrick, founder of Regrick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. Yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Have you ever wondered what would happen to you or your loved ones or your business if you were incapacitated tomorrow or if you died prematurely? None of us plan on it, but not addressing these issues can be catastrophic to your finances, your family, and your business. Hi, this is attorney Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio every Sunday morning at 8. Elder or estate planning is necessary for all of us, regardless of our wealth or lack of wealth. So whether your estate is large or small, you simply must have a proper legal life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your business. For your free estate or elder law planning consultation, give us a call today at 425-284-3450. At Gregrick & Associates, my staff and I will take the time necessary to understand your needs and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Call us today at 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450 or go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Regrick.
Rush.
Yeah.
All right.
Just what you don't want to do on a Sunday morning is rush.
Right? No, no.
Well, before the break, we were talking a little bit about these subsequent marriages, we'll call them, and how we plan for these things. And
like the second, the third, the seventh.
Yeah, my fifth. This is my fifth. I think I've had five before. That's about the most. It's like you look at these folks.
We've got one client at the firm that's he's great.
He's a professional.
It's a revolving door.
He's a professional. I'm so good at it now. I'm just going to do it again.
He knows. He knows the law better than us. He's been through so many divorces.
That's right. That's right.
So anyways, the second marriage, we're going to just call it the second marriage estate plan. Very important. Very, very important. This is the blended family. We talk about this every week on the show. The need for the estate plan when you have a blended family, because who, first of all, is going to be your decision maker, and second of all, who is going to receive your estate. Right. Those things need to be decided. They need to be defined. And the reason is because your spouse and your children and you and your spouse's children are not necessarily going to see eye to eye. And it causes tremendous family strife and lots of litigation when there is not a very well done and appropriate estate plan in place for that type of situation.
That's right. And these blended families, sometimes you can have his, hers, and ours, and you can have just his and just hers. But anyway, the family dynamic in those kind of situations is really, really important, because generally what happens, let's just say one of the parties becomes incapacitated and the other spouse is using their funds to help pay for their care, which doesn't particularly sit well with their children sometimes. And we run into this all the time.
We do. We run into this all the time. There's a tremendous animosity.
Mistrust.
And do not kid yourself. Your kids have an expectation. They may tell you otherwise, but they definitely do.
Exactly.
And we know that from experience. We know that kids do expect to be involved in the decision making.
Yes.
Kids do expect to be involved in getting your inheritance.
Yeah,
it causes, like as we say, a lot of litigation and a lot of bitterness when these things are not addressed through appropriate, well drafted, well advised estate planning.
Right. And there's a lot that goes into these things. There's a lot of nuts and bolts when you have these blended families to make sure that the path for your money is where you want the path to be. Generally speaking, you'll want to protect the other spouse. That's almost universal that we have in these kind of plans. And the problem becomes, like I was talking earlier, when one of those spouses becomes incapacitated and it starts draining all of the assets of both of them, that's when these children really, really, really have a problem with the situation. And if it's planned properly, it will work. If it's not, then we get into these disaster scenarios where we've got all this infighting.
Well, yeah,
and you spend all the money on legal fees, right?
And this is not uncommon. I've been through several of these cases where both husband and wife become incapacitated around the same time. This is usually due to age, usually due to some form of dementia.
Yep.
And what happens is now here come the kids, adult children, obviously. Here come the kids for both of the spouses, and they are fighting over which pot of money is going to pay for whose care.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have
seen... Guess whose pot they want used first,
yeah, and
not theirs.
I have seen situations where, you know, because what will happen is you'll have two spouses that come to the marriage with very disproportionate amounts of assets. And the kids that are expecting to inherit the larger pot of money do not want that pot of money touched to assist in the care of the new spouse.
That's right.
And that is kind of the situation that you see, and it gets really, really ugly. That is why it is so incredibly necessary to put together an appropriate estate plan for that situation. The premarital agreement is part of that, or, you know, postmarital agreement or separate property agreement. The reason that that is so important is we talked very beginning of the show about separate property and community property. You're in a second marriage. You bring separate property to this marriage. You accumulate community property during this marriage. If you have agreements as to what is community property and what is separate property in the form of either a premarital agreement or postmarital agreement, that's an incredibly important part of that estate plan, because the estate plan is of little value if it's not defined. And now here comes the kids fighting over what constitutes separate property, what constitutes community property.
Right, and that gets really, really messy.
And that gets really, really messy.
Yeah, that's the benefit of having these agreements in place. And you absolutely, folks, you can keep separate property separate. You just have to understand that the key to making that happen are these types of agreements that actually spell this out and will work ultimately to pass yours on to yours, if you will, right?
That's right. So we're getting close to the end here. If you like what you hear, you want to hear more, you know, Ted and I, we're at Gregorick & Associates. We're over on the east side, right at the intersection of 405 and 520. We do at our firm. We have a great program where we provide you what is called a wealth plan organizer, or a life plan organizer, actually. I think we updated the name. The life plan organizer. And what that does is it allows you to kind of schedule out who the people are in your life, what your goals, what your objectives are, what your assets are, who it is that can make your decisions for you. We provide that to you. We like you to complete that ahead of time. And then we offer complimentary initial consultations where you can sit down and talk with an attorney about an estate plan, estate planning options, and if it's for you, and whether it's time. And we, of course, think it is time.
Right.
This is a really good way to avoid what we call planning procrastination. You know you're out there.
And unintended.
We know you're listening.
Yeah, we do. Because I see you all the time.
So if you want to reach us, you can give us a call at our office Monday morning, not today. We're going to go celebrate with moms.
That's right.
Our phone number is 425-284-3450. Again, it's 425-284-3450. And until next week, same time, same place.
Yep. And keep your tractor out of the river, folks.
That's right. Good morning. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorek. Event info, newsletters, and Your Partner in Law podcasts can all be found at yourpartnerinlaw.com. To schedule an appointment with Rick Gregorek, call 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free Partner in Law event, visit yourpartnerinlaw.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 8 to Your Partner in Law with your host, Rick Gregorek. Simulcast on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.